It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. And be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. That way you get the first look at all of the upcoming guests and subjects that we'll be talking about the next week, as well as the latest in our op-eds and our Sounding Off with Kim Monson podcast. Go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. We greatly appreciate that. We've got a great show planned for you today. We'll be going through some headlines in this first segment. Dr. Jill Vecchio will join us in the second segment regarding there's been some revision, Producer Steve, on some of these COVID death numbers.
Ha! I got a video for you. I almost sent it to you yesterday, but I know how busy you are. It is, I mean, if you want some comic relief, these guys took these numbers and made the most hilarious spoof on what's going on and how the numbers interact. We'll have to review it. We could even play it on the air. It's airworthy.
Okay.
But, you know, that's another day.
Okay. And Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, we'll talk to him at the bottom of the hour. And then Chris Dorsey is a renowned sportsman and host of the Great American Country Series, Ultimate Sportsman's Lodge, Colorado. And he had a recent piece in Forbes. The NRA, the National Rifle Association, has had some internal challenges, one might say. Then also some external challenges as well with lawsuits and all. And Chris Dorsey makes the case in this Forbes piece that gun owner voter turnout will be massive this November. So it'll be great to talk with him about that. The I'm a Trumpster Minority Bus Tour is out there. Reggie and Johnny are out there engaging in the minority communities, and that is very exciting. My friends, we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And what we've seen is these PBIs, these politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties, have now used fear to take our freedoms, for them to gain more and more power. And we need to get our brains around the truth on these issues. And the truth is the facts with context. We need to get our brains around the truth on this and then engage in reasonable conversations with our friends, our family, and our colleagues. And it is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood, which is what is happening with these health departments that have been weaponized against everyday people. And what they're doing is they're using force. Now, in the old days, it used to be weapons, where the bad guys would come in with weapons and take your stuff. But now we see it happening with policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or fear. And we need to be pushing back on this. If something is a good idea, you should not need to use force to implement it. And that's why we ask these critical thinking questions. What, why, when, how, where, and who? And so that is so important. I always like to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with. That is Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and the whole family here at Crawford Broadcasting. And thank you to each of you listeners. You're each treasured. You're valued. You have a purpose. Go out today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Be the very best version of yourself that you can be. And our quote for today is Charlton Heston. I thought, you know, he had been the head of the National Rifle Association, the NRA, for quite some time. And you know him. He was born in 1923. He died in 2008. He was an American actor and political activist. As a Hollywood star, he appeared in almost 100 films over the course of 60 years. He played Moses in the epic film The Ten Commandments that was filmed in 1956, for which he received his first nomination for the Golden Globe Award for Best Actor. Excuse me. He was a supporter of the civil rights movement in his earlier years. He left the Democrat Party in 1971 to become a Republican, founding a conservative political action committee and supporting Ronald Reagan. Heston was a five-term president of the National Rifle Association from 1998 to 2003. After announcing he had Alzheimer's disease in 2002, he retired from both acting and the NRA presidency. And this is what he said. He said, it's the camel's note in the tent. Look at Stalin, Mussolini, Hitler, Mao Zedong, Pol Pot, Idi Amin, every one of these monsters on seizing power. Their first act was to confiscate all firearms in private hands.
Whoa.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, the camel's nose is in the tent. Yes.
And that is why the Second Amendment is so important. And we are now seeing with what is happening in our cities here. Kenosha, Wisconsin, we talked about it yesterday, that there were business owners that were staying on their roofs with weapons all night, up all night, to guard their livelihoods. And we have seen, you know, when we go back to our quote about it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood, that is what we are seeing, is there is an assault on middle America, middle class America. And I've been thinking a lot about this, Steve. Under socialism, socialism ultimately comes down to force. Now, Hitler was voted in. So he was voted in a democratic election, if you will, but it was only one election. After that, it took weapons to get rid of him. And that is what is so unique about the Second Amendment, is that there are, you know, there is this right that people can have arms to protect themselves and their family. And with this assault on the police department, when you dial 911, you're not sure that they're going to show up right now. And so I thought that quote by Charlton Heston was very relevant to what is happening in America today, Steve.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong here. This is a little history, and you probably know the story better than I. After Pearl Harbor, didn't the Japanese have on their drawing board a potential invasion of the West Coast?
Yes, they did.
And what was the one thing that maybe made them think about it?
What I have heard, one of the reasons that they did not do that is they knew that basically almost every individual in America was armed. Now, they were going up and back and forth on the West Coast. In fact, one of the World War II veterans that I interviewed said that one night they were in training in San Diego, and they got called out of their beds, and they were sent to the beach there in San Diego because they thought that the Japanese were going to try to make an attack. And one of the reasons that the Japanese did not attack the mainland is because they knew that everyday Americans had the right to keep and bear firearms, and that many Americans did that. And so it's going to be a really interesting conversation with Chris Dorsey in this third and fourth segment. Let's jump into some of the news here. First thing, one of the things that you keep mentioning that Patty had pulled on our headlines is this train now. Let's see, where is it? Here we go. This was from CPR.org, and it says CDOT has a projection that it suggests a Front Range train would carry 3 million passengers a year. So a passenger rail train stretching nearly 200 miles between Fort Collins and Pueblo would carry 9,200 people every weekday and nearly 3 million in a year, according to new modeling. That's the key word, modeling. We have seen how modeling the coronavirus, Wuhan virus, modeling shut down our nation. And when we talked to Dr. Jill Vecchio in the second segment, that modeling was incorrect. I would submit to you this modeling is incorrect because people are not riding the light rail here in the metro area. In fact, we've talked to Randall O'Toole with the Cato Institute, who's an expert in transportation and urban land planning. And most of these mass transit, light rail entities in these major cities are in a death spiral. So one has to ask, why on earth do we think that this could be true? But yet, who's going to pay for this, Steve?
Well, this article is not very well written. It talks about, it assumes, you know, or it's written at the level of, all right, let's say it's already built, and this is how the fare structure will work and support this and support that. But you talk about building this, it's very obtuse. It doesn't really connect the dots very well at all. And I'm just thinking, even though they think that they can use some of the existing tracks that are already out there for freight, I don't have a good feeling about that right there. Freight and
freight and passenger.
Passenger using the same rails, there's an invitation for disaster.
You know, and what this is underlying, my friends, is this is the continual assault to get people out of their cars. And they build these things. They're so expensive. And it doesn't include, you know, they build it, what the maintenance is. There is no way that the fare that they charge will cover the, first of all, the construction costs, then the operating costs. And it's a continual assault to get people out of their cars. And when it doesn't work, when people don't voluntarily decide to use it, the next thing you see is policy and taxation, and we're seeing it right now, to move people out of their cars and onto these modes of transportation that people don't really want. And, you know, one of the most freeing things for everyday individuals is freedom of mobility, to be able to go where you want to, when you want to. My friend Helen Raleigh, that grew up in China, says that's the difference between a free economy and a non-free, a free society and a non-free society, is freedom of mobility. People can go where they want to, when they want to. Over here on this other society where the elites control it, then that means that you have to go on their schedule where they say that you can go. And that is why this is such an important battle of ideas to engage in. So thank you, Steve. I knew we had to talk about it this morning because you've been wanting to talk about it for the last three mornings.
In the years that we've been doing this show, we have had many guests talk about, you know, RTD and light rail, fast tracks, and the whole deal. And one of the things, the facts that sticks out in my mind is when you ride light rail and you pay your fare, that only covers 20% of your ride.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the other 80% coming from?
So we're paying sales tax. The sales tax is a regressive tax. It hurts the people on the lower part of the economic scale more. And it's a regressive tax. And so there's the sales tax, there's the fare. And then, you know, they're always going to the federal government for money. So when I was on city council, I voted against the Southeast Light Rail extension. They were estimating that it was going to be $206 million for 2.3 miles. It actually, I think, came in higher than that, because as I was looking at it, I was dissecting the numbers, and what the estimates were coming in, where I was looking at the money, that at that point was about $250 million. So I'm like, you guys aren't telling us the truth on this right up front. But what we're seeing is people don't want to ride that either. But the reason I voted against it, Steve, is because we were going to the federal government and asking for $92 million. This was under the Obama administration, for that Southeast Light Rail extension. And we were asking the federal government for that money, which it was awarded, because again, Obama, that was one of his agenda items, was to get people out of their cars and take away our freedom of mobility. But I made the case, and that is that if in fact we wanted to have the Southeast Light Rail extension, we needed to vote and tax ourselves to do that. But instead, when people think somebody else is going to pay for it, in this case, the federal government, which who is the federal government? It's us, and it's our neighbors and our neighboring states, and then it is the money that we are borrowing from the next generation. And I could just not in good conscience vote for that, and so I voted against it. It was a 4-1 vote on that. But now we're seeing, you know, it's people aren't riding it. It's not pulling its full fare. And so that's why we need to keep our eye on this, and what they're doing, Steve, I'll tell you the other thing, is with these articles, they're floating this out here to try to get people used to the idea.
Yeah.
And so we'll continue to see that. And so that is why I guarantee you, we are going to stay on top of this.
Don't you love it? I mean, obviously we have three levels of government, federal, state, and local. Don't you love it when any one of those levels pretends like the other two don't exist? That's all we have to deal with as taxpayers.
Very, very good point. Let's go to break. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Jill Vecchio. Before we do that, one of my very valued partners is Hooters Restaurants, and they have 5 locations. As we're coming into Labor Day, you know, it would be great to meet some friends over there. They have specials, Monday through Friday, happy hour specials, 3 to 6 p.m. They have lunch specials Monday through Friday. Wednesdays are Wings Day, all the wings you can eat if you dine in for $15.99. They have Kids Eat Free promotion, and there's sports out there. So it's a great place to go and just kick back with some friends. Beautiful Colorado evenings. For more information, go to order.hooters.com. That's order.hooters.com, and we will be right back.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You will get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast. And we'd appreciate it if you would go over to Facebook and give us a like there as well. On the line with me is Dr. Jill Vecchio. You know her. She's a radiologist, and she's one of the few people in the country that actually read the PPACA, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, which is also known as Obamacare. She has also come up with a 10-point plan on how to fix healthcare, and you want to check out our podcast where Jill and I had a conversation about that. Dr. Jill Vecchio, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Kim. Hope you're well.
I'm doing well. This was But KDVR recently this week just reported, and other news sources as well, that there is a new CDC report showing 94% of COVID-19 Wuhan virus deaths in the U.S. had contributing conditions. What's your thoughts on this, Dr. Jill?
Well, I've been on the CDC website again, and there's great news about the CDC website that I'll get to in a minute. But the 6%, only 6% of people that are listed as COVID deaths actually died only of COVID. We already knew that. We already knew that the majority of patients that were dying from COVID were dying with COVID, but they were more susceptible to dying from COVID because of comorbidities or things like obesity, diabetes, things like that, that made their infection worse, made them more susceptible to the kind of autoimmune super inflammation, lung disease things that cause people to die from COVID. So this really isn't earth-shattering. It just isn't, in my opinion. What we found from the CDC website, the reason it became big is because they've changed up the whole CDC website. You know, President Trump appointed a new kind of a coronavirus task force, right? So he's kind of revamped that. And the CDC website and the website for the National Health Statistics, they're reporting things very differently now, which is great. This is actual data. I'm seeing the CDC website is actually, they're separating out test results from cases, they're separating out viral test results. Remember, we talked about a few weeks ago, we talked about the CDC reporting numbers. We're combining viral tests, which was acute disease, and the antibody test, which is the blood disease, which meant that you were immune. They were combining those numbers. So the numbers were always going to be high. It was always going to look much worse, like there's this ongoing infection rate of COVID everywhere. Depending on how many tests you did and where you were doing the testing, it was going to be all of a sudden a hot spot when the majority of the positives were going to be antibody positives. you know, so it was really poorly reported data before. Now it's really great. They separated it out.
So but
the 6% number, I think, is just kind of, so what? So all they're saying is that 6% of people that are listed as COVID deaths had no other contributing factors, but we already knew that.
Yes, but most everybody, not everyday people, knew that, Jill. You watch this. So that means that there's about 11,000 deaths that we can attribute just to COVID in America. And when we compare that to, you know, other causes of death throughout the country, we've never shut down the country. We've never let these health departments have as much power as they have. We've never had these mandatory mask wearing. And so the you know, what they've used is those inflated numbers to scare the living daylights out of people. I mean, I can tell you, I still may be outside walking on the sidewalk, and there may be people that walk, you know, go out in the street to go around me. I find that absolutely astounding. Maybe it's not because I'm not wearing a mask outside. Maybe it's something else. But but I find that absolutely astounding.
Well, it's interesting because now on the website, they actually have graphs of excess number of deaths. So they have, because that's always been a question, really, how many more people are dying because of, you know, during this COVID thing? How many more people are dying than would die from all other causes anyway, a stroke or heart disease? That's valid.
Valid
that's
question.
Statistically valid information. So now they actually have some of that data. I mean, it's all kind of projected, granted, based on expected number of deaths. And the way they've presented it is really kind of hard to interpret how much real effect it's had, but it probably hasn't had very much effect. I would say that there may be just as much or more of an effect from the number of people that we may or may not even ever know a number, but the number of people who are going to have increased morbidity, in other words, increased disease, worse cancer, that sort of thing, and need additional, more intense treatment for diseases that have a delayed diagnosis because of COVID and because of the shutdown. And because of the delay in access to healthcare for something other than COVID. I think that could be a very eye-opening statistic if they are ever able to study it.
Okay.
Or, you know, get any kind of a reasonable number for it.
Okay. I want to go back to the number. So if you look at this, 6% of the deaths that they are attributing to COVID, that works out to about 11,000 deaths. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see if those were early on when COVID first arrived here from China, or if it, you know, just when that was exactly. But the other thing is if it was early on, we now have treatments, which, again, the media and the radical activist left, it seems that they want to poo-poo many of these treatments, like hydroxychloroquine, and let's see, there's a new one that's out there that doesn't cost that much, because I think that they are really working towards a drumbeat of a mandatory vaccination. Take the mandatory mask wearing and just put in the word vaccine. And so I find this very encouraging that there is more light being shed on the truth on this. And, you know, Dr. Jill, you're so good at this because, you know, there's facts out there, but facts are, or the truth is facts with context. And I think that's what you're bringing to the table. And granted, those numbers have been out there, but most everyday people, particularly if they're only watching the mainstream media, they don't see that. And that's why we need to shed light on this, Dr. Jill. So what's your final thought on all this?
Well, I agree with you 100% that most of the media, I believe that Fauci is absolutely pro-vaccine. We've talked about the vaccine company Moderna that seems to be in the forefront of the vaccine issue. We talked about that. I think we did a podcast.
We did. People go back and check that out.
I'm telling you, don't anybody agree to this vaccine until you listen to that podcast and find out more about this company, because they have never brought anything to market. Nothing. So the idea that we are putting all our eggs in a vaccine basket with this company is outrageous to me. President Trump has said he won't mandate a vaccine, but let's face it, depends on who's in charge where. And the governors can do what they want in their states. I'm telling you, get the word out there about this vaccine and a mandatory vaccine. You know, Colorado could do it too.
They could. And
that was the end game, because it's all about, and again, it's another case of follow the money.
Well, and that's why it has been so important that we keep an eye on this, on all of this mandatory vaccine stuff. And so, you know, I say the other side, this radical activist side, has really been playing long ball. And we have been not. We've been playing tiddlywinks, if you will. And that's why, you know, last year in 2019, when we saw that mandatory vaccine legislation here at the State House, and then we saw it again this year when you and I and Patty went down to that that rally against that,
right,
which they called that hearing at the legislature on a Sunday at noon, if you can believe it. And I'm trying to find this other headline that Patty had, and now it's, we've got so many things here, but the headline was that basically I think they're trying to fast track a vaccine that would be available November 1 of this year. And I'm like you, it's like, you go first. I don't think I want to. Oh, here we go. This was from the Denver Post. CDC tells states be ready to distribute vaccines on November 1, and it's like, mm-hmm, you go first. You know,
exactly. I will not be in line for that. I'll wear a mask. I'll do, you know, it's like, yeah, if we didn't have, as a physician, if I didn't get a flu vaccine, it was either I didn't practice, either I'd lost my credentials, or I had to wear a mask through the entire flu season, October through March. It's like,
well, at least,
wow,
you had a choice.
Really?
At least you had a choice, Dr.
Yes.
Jill. So,
yes.
So, okay.
And we'll still have a, you know, yeah, we need to still have a choice. There will be. There's always going to be a choice. Either you exit the system, or, you know, you take the consequences, or you take this completely untested vaccine with a completely new approach to a vaccine. Wow, everything about this is new and untested, and I will not be in line for that.
Well, that is your nugget of wisdom from Dr. Jill Vecchio today. Jill, thanks so much. We will talk to you next week.
Take care.
Have a great day. Let's jump over here to Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. Top of the morning to you, Jason.
Hey, good morning, Kim. You know, isn't it funny that up until just a few weeks ago, the general liberal media was talking about this plasma treatment like it was very, very wonderful. Tom Hanks had donated plasma. This Bryan Cranston, several Hollywood celebrities had donated their plasma, and it was great. And then as soon as the Trump administration even mentioned it as maybe something positive, they went on the attack about the plasma, and they've been crying that we need a vaccine since day one of this supposed pandemic started. And now they're pushing back against a vaccine and saying we went too fast and it probably won't be safe.
Yes. So we as everyday American people need to put our thinking caps on this whole narrative. And I know that you do that, Jason, but we ask these questions all the time. What, why, when, how, where, and who? So wanted to jump over, though, yes, to something else. Yesterday, a new jobs report came out. So break that down for my listeners.
Well, what came out yesterday, Kim, was what's called the ADP jobs report, which it isn't looked watched as closely as the one that we'll see on Friday from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The ADP report is a little bit different. The ADP only does private payrolls. It doesn't include government jobs. They also do their calculations and estimates using different methods. And so, yeah, you can get some pretty wild differences in the ADP and the BLS sometimes.
Okay.
But, you know, some experts will say the ADP can give you a clue to what's going to happen with the big one, let's call it. So the ADP report came out, you know, we added about 428,000 jobs for the month. But the estimate was almost 1.2 million, so it was quite a bit below the estimate. A lot of the jobs added were big business. That was almost 300,000 of it. Small companies were 52,000. That's companies with less than 50 workers. And the medium size took up the middle with about 80,000 of those added. So, you know, we'll see, Kim. Again, you see big differences between the estimates and actual. Even more so, it seems, on the ADP one than you do on the BLS. Sometimes they don't jive with each other, so we'll see what happens with the BLS report on Friday. And if you'd like, maybe I could just call in 10 minutes later than usual so I would have the info and we could actually talk about it.
Why don't we do that? Let's talk about that tomorrow. And what's the futures doing? What they think about the ADP report?
Well, the ADP report came out yesterday. I thought it came out yesterday morning right when I was on the air.
Exactly.
With you.
Mm-hmm.
The market did really well yesterday. The Dow was up about 450. I don't know if that was due to the jobs report or just more optimism about a possible vaccine news that was coming out pretty strong yesterday. But this morning, the futures are pretty quiet. They're down about 5 points on the Dow. NASDAQ, they're down about 100. Looks like a little bit of profit taking there.
Okay, so I think that's a really good idea, Jason. So tomorrow we'll just change. We'll probably put you near that third break in the show so that you can give us just hot off the press analysis of what the jobs numbers look like tomorrow. So we will talk to you tomorrow, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. You can reach Jason at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one, Kim.
Thanks so much. And before we go to break, I did want to give a shout out to another one of my new partners, and that is Metropolitan Total Property Care. And they can help you with all of your fall work, getting your lawn and your trees and your shrubs in order for the fall. You know, and the planning that you do in the fall, you can see the benefits then in the spring. I have worked with them since they started back in 1987. They are fine people. They're family-owned. They're local. And I would highly recommend that you check out Metropolitan Total Property Care, a new partner of the Kim Munson Show. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Chris Dorsey.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. On the line with me is Chris Dorsey. He's a renowned sportsman and host of the Great American Country Series, Ultimate Sportsman's Lodge, Colorado. He is the president and founding partner of Orion Multimedia, the world's largest producer of outdoor adventure television programming. He's created 40 series and numerous specials, along with several projects in development for a wide variety of national networks. Chris Dorsey, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. Good to be with you.
Good to have you. You've written a very interesting piece that was in Forbes recently. It's titled, Despite the NRA Woes, Gun Owner Voter Turnout is Likely to Be Massive. So the National Rifle Association has had challenges both internally and externally. And I think those on the radical activist left have been celebrating that. But you're saying that maybe they're too early to do that, Chris Dorsey.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's really quite an interesting dynamic right now. You've got just incredible gun sales all over the country. And I just got the latest figures from the National Shooting Sports Foundation relative to gun sales in Colorado. And just since the first of the year, 600,000 guns have been sold in this state. And since 2016, 2 million guns have been sold in the state of Colorado. So roughly about half the population now of Colorado owns a firearm. So it's a situation where you've got about 150 million people in the United States that own firearms. There's some 430 million firearms in circulation in the U.S. A huge percentage of the country, obviously, is voting with their Second Amendment rights when it comes to purchasing firearms. And then you have this situation where cities are melting down. Democratic mayors and governors are saying defund the police. So you've left the population with this message of you're on your own. And so what does that mean? That means I'm going to go take care of my own security. I'm going to get armed. I'm going to get trained. And that's what's going on. And I think despite what the NRA is doing, there's a whole lot more gun owners than ever belong to the NRA. So to underestimate the will and what gun owners want to do at the voting booth, I think would be a huge mistake. And that was really the point of the article.
Well, this is an anecdotal story, and now I can't remember who I was talking with about this, but they said, I think it was their niece that had, gone to a university and come out, indoctrinated, to the radical left, but has been watching what's been happening in our cities. And she went out and got a firearm, signed up for training, and has now become a Trump supporter. And I found that absolutely fascinating because Trump has really had a hard time with that university, college-educated woman. And I think that many of them are starting to realize that a firearm for a woman is the great equalizer between her and a bad guy.
Absolutely. And it's really something that's shifting. We're seeing the polls shifting now relative to women, relative to suburban residents, because there's a lot of fear in the country, obviously, and the Democratic Party really has nothing to offer, unfortunately. They just, their solution is to pass more gun laws, and the problem with that, of course, is people who are criminals don't follow laws in the first place.
You think?
Isn't it amazing how somebody who's otherwise quite intelligent, successful in life, can't seem to grasp the notion that passing a law doesn't mean anything to a criminal. By definition, they don't follow laws. So let's pass more laws. So those of us who are law-abiding have to follow those. We're disarmed. And so you're sending a message to the criminals that the sheep are available. And that's really the dynamic in the country right now. So to me, it's kind of the perfect storm. You've got all these people that are in fear buying firearms, getting trained. And then you've got these Democratic leaders across the country, including here in Colorado, saying defund the police and essentially saying you're on your own. So I think that's going to be a very powerful dynamic come November. And I think if I were and I'm not advising Cory Gardner, but if I were, I would say I would go after Hickenlooper on that issue in a huge way. Hickenlooper is known to be terrible on guns. Every gun owner knows his situation. And the key dynamic there is if the Democrats flip the Senate, which they could very well do if Hickenlooper wins and Cory Gardner loses. It's a free-for-all in the Second Amendment rights situation then, because he's going to – obviously that'll affect the courts, and as Joe Biden famously said to Beto O'Rourke, buddy, when I'm elected, you're going to be my chief gun confiscator. And that sent chills down the spines of tens of millions of gun owners across the country. So I think that's something that could be very – very useful to Gardner in this race, and he ought to exploit that.
So, Chris, I don't know if you had heard, and during the first segment, I normally always have a quote, and because I was going to have you on the show, I found this. I thought, okay, John Wayne, then I'm like, oh, Charlton Heston. He would be a great guy to see what kind of quotes he had. And this is what he said. He said, it's the camel's nose in the tent. Look at Stalin, Mussolini, Hitler, Mao Zedong, Pol Pot, Idi Amin, every one of these monsters on seizing power. Their first act was to confiscate all firearms in private hands. And that's why we need to look at history. And that's another reason why I think the radical activist left is tearing down history, because you just go back to history and you see what happens. And that's why, that's why the Second Amendment is in the Constitution, is because it wasn't because the founding fathers wanted to make sure that people had a firearm so they could go out and hunt. They wanted to make sure that they had firearms so that they could stand up to tyrannical monsters.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think that's why it's such a key issue, because it transcends the rest of the amendments, right? I mean, if you don't have a Second Amendment, what do you really have, right? And so your security is really defined by that. And for a lot of people, that's a huge defining issue. And that's why I think politically, let's recall, Hickenlooper barely won re-election as governor. And it was largely on this gun magazine issue and the gun issue, and he's terrible on it. And again, the dynamic of what would happen if he's elected, not just in Colorado, but nationally because of the Supreme Court and Biden, if he gets in with Beto O'Rourke and all that they want to do, it's very clear. It's just very clear where the Democrats want to go. And I think when you've got 150 million gun owners, perhaps the largest voting bloc in the United States, probably not a great political move.
So, Chris Dorsey, when they don't just come in and are able to confiscate guns, they use policy and they use taxation to limit people's ability to access their firearms. I don't know where this legislation is right now. I think I heard it was nationally, but maybe it was here in Colorado, that there was legislation that was being proposed that would be like safe firearm storage. So it's basically government reaching into your home and telling you what you have to do on the inside of your home. You may be very, and most firearm owners are very responsible. You know, accidents can happen in any arena. But firearms, people that own firearms are typically very responsible with that. But this legislation would say that you would have to have a gun safe and you'd have to have your firearm there. And it's like when the bad guy's not, you know, trying to knock down your door, you don't go, wait a minute, I got to run down here and get this. I think it's really wrong for government to step in and see what you can do inside your own home.
Well, it doesn't work. Number one, I mean, there's no evidence that any of these things will work. And there's a lot of evidence that will suggest they don't work. So once again, the Democrats like to propose things that don't work and only affect those who follow laws, et cetera. So it's like a gun-free zone, right? When you put a sign up in a theater that says a gun-free zone, you've just told, you know, a monster killer that there are sheep inside. You know, you're not going to be opposed. There's no fear. I think there's most of the states now in the United States have passed concealed carry laws. And in every single instance, Kim, crime rates have dropped significantly, not a little bit. And I don't think that's not a coincidence. And so, again, it's this armed citizen who's trained, knows what they're doing, really is the greatest deterrent against crime.
Okay. Chris Dorsey, let's go to break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about Chicago, because Chicago has, to my understanding, very strict gun laws in place, but yet it's a war zone every weekend. And what, you know, I'm thinking, if I am a mother on the south side of Chicago in a minority neighborhood, I'm going to just cringe when I think of the weekend coming on, because, you know, it is a war zone out there. And so let's talk a little bit about that, because, as you mentioned, gun-free zones, these cities that are passing these very strict gun laws, it's everyday people that are getting hurt. So this is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Chris Dorsey. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. And before we get back to Chris Dorsey, who is a renowned sportsman and host of the Great American Country Series Ultimate Sportsman's Lodge of Colorado, to talk about his piece in Forbes that despite the NRA woes, gun owner voter turnout will likely be massive. I wanted to just give a shout out to another one of my great partners, and that is Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is located right in Sedalia, Colorado here. It is a fabulous store. They work with blade makers from all over the world to have the most, just an extensive selection of knives, whether or not you're a collector, knives for the military, of course, for sportsmen. I've been going to some weddings lately. Now that things are opening up a bit, people are getting married, and I've been pleased to go and purchase beautiful steak knife sets, and I'm very proud to give those to the bride and groom. So go to castlegate.com for more information. That is castlegate.com, and be sure and let them know that you know me as well. So let's continue our conversation with Chris Dorsey regarding this piece that even though the NRA is having both external and internal challenges, gun owner voter turnout is likely to be massive. And Chris Dorsey, with what we are seeing in these Democrat-run cities and states, we're seeing like Chicago. Let's just talk a little bit about Chicago. It is a war zone there every weekend, but yet they have very strict gun laws. So how does that match up, Chris Dorsey?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's you pass laws, so the citizenry has to follow them that are law-abiding, and the criminals can do whatever they want. They know they're going to be unopposed. You know, Chicago's a mess, New York is a mess, Portland's a mess, as we've seen. Most of these, you know, the common denominator, of course, is they have restrictive gun laws, they're democratically controlled, the cities are on fire, and so the people are sitting there going, who's going to protect us? And then at the same time, you've got mayors saying, defund the police, you know, like, you know, some kind of bizarre, unrecognizable view of the world. And that's, I think it's just throwing people into a situation where they cannot believe it's being allowed to happen. And so they're taking their own security into their own hands. And it's also interesting, I don't know if you saw a poll yesterday, I forget who did the poll, but Trump was polling at about 24% with African Americans, which is massive. That would be a huge, basically this election is over if he gets anything close to that with African Americans. And I think he's at about 40% with Latino voters as well. So those are people that are living in many of these cities that are seeing firsthand the crime and the lawlessness. They're confronting it daily, and they're seeing their government abandon them. And so I think you're going to see even more of that shift towards Trump, because clearly he's staked out the law and order position, and his opponent seems to be utterly clueless as to what's happening in the cities, much less what to do about them.
Well, and that's why this I'm a Trumpster, Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas, they have this big bus that we rolled out last Friday that they are taking into minority neighborhoods. And I think they're really going to make a difference. And as you mentioned, Trump is, his numbers are going up within these ethnic communities, which is really important, which moves me over to a piece that was in the Federalist just recently, Chris Dorsey. It says, this was earlier in the week or last week. 6 days later, Colorado's John Hickenlooper and Senator Michael Bennett have yet to condemn the Denver riots. And I find it absolutely astounding that they are letting our city be destroyed, and yet that they are not coming out and taking a hard stand against the bad guys. And I've got to think that suburban woman is going to start to pay attention. I was at a focus group last week, and they said that many suburban women don't think that is going to come to their neighborhood. But, you know, I've been having a number of these district attorney candidates on a regular basis. John Kellner, who is running for district attorney for Arapahoe, Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln counties, Matt Durkin out in Jeffco and Gilpin counties, and then Tim McCormick up in Broomfield and Adams counties. And we realize that these DA races are so important. And I think I heard John Kellner say just recently that destruction that's happening in Denver will creep out to the suburbs. What's your thoughts, Chris?
Well, that's exactly right. Kellner's a terrific candidate, in my opinion, and follows, you know, big shoes with Brockler, who I think is one of the best Republican candidates in any situation in Colorado I've seen in almost 20 years. Look, that's exactly right. I mean, you're not going to contain it. It's not something that's distant. It's coming to your neighborhood. People know that. And the Democrats are just, I mean, it's so utterly mystifying to watch them, you know, seem paralyzed as to what to do. And you have a president saying, please call me for help. I can't activate the National Guard. I can't bring in support until you call and ask for it. That's the law. So So at least ask for it, and we'll get it fixed. Look at Kenosha. You know, they waited 3 or 4 days before they finally brought the feds in, and once they did, they calmed the city down quickly. So, again, it's mystifying. I don't know if they're politically thinking this is a win, but I think they've now understood it was a gross miscalculation and might cost them the election.
Well, and you just mentioned President Trump saying, I'm here to help. You just have to ask me. And I don't think a lot of people understand that, you know, under our form of government, federalism, that there is a ton of states' rights. And so for Trump, that's what he does. He offers. If they say no, they say no. I'm astounded that we have not had these mayors and these governors in these cities that are on fire not say, hey, yes. But their hatred for Trump, they will actually let the people suffer in their communities, let businesses be burned down. I saw a woman on television in Kenosha. She was an immigrant, and she was just, it was like she couldn't understand this. She said, I built this business. They came and they burned it down. She couldn't even put the two together, because I think she knows that in America, government is here to make sure that our private property rights are respected, Chris Dorsey. And I think she believed that. And now it's not working out. And so Trump says, I'll come in, I'll help protect you. And now he's saying, we'll help you rebuild. I think that really plays on Main Street America, Chris Dorsey.
Yeah, I think it just sears into the consciousness of the country. And it's so incredibly sad when you see those stories, you know, shop owners that have put everything that they've ever had into these businesses. It's their hope. It's their family's hope for the future. And then you see them destroyed, and you see a government that seems to have abandoned them. And it's just so hard and sickening and mystifying. But that certainly is awakening something else in the electorate that I think is going to play out in a big way in November.
Okay. I want to connect a dot then here, Chris Dorsey. One of the things that we always bring home every day is I mentioned that it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force. That's what we've been talking about with this looting and this destruction in these communities. But with policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation or fear. So what we've seen is many of these health departments that have been weaponized against everyday people, and they're taking their livelihoods not by going in and looting, but by policy. And you probably saw the story about Nancy Pelosi out in San Francisco. I did not realize that they didn't have hair salons that were open yet. I mean, I'm wondering, it's probably looking pretty ugly out there in California right now. Nancy Pelosi goes in, she gets her hair done. So there's the elites and there's everybody else. So the rules do not apply to her. But I was reading the owner there. Apparently, you know, she rents out the different chairs to the different hairdressers. And right. So it was one of the hairdressers that, you know, had Nancy Pelosi come in. But this woman said, I can't last much longer. I've put everything into this. I can only last maybe 30 to 60 days. So it's just as cruel to take people's businesses with policy as it is to go in and loot. So we're just about out of time, Chris Dorsey. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, hypocrisy has no bounds in the Democratic Party, and it's really nothing new with Nancy Pelosi. She's had a double standard her entire career. But I think it will be very interesting to see what happens in California and New York, two states that are essentially imploding at almost every level under Democratic leadership. So I'm going to be very curious to see what the election situation happens, what happens in November, just because it's such a different dynamic and it's impacted the citizens of those states in ways that we just haven't seen.
Well, and as they're moving out of these cities, don't vote for the party that put those policies in place. Producer Steve found this really funny meme. Apparently, it was a picture of Bill de Blasio. And it was, what was it, Steve? Do you want to give it to us quick like?
U-Haul Corporation had named him the salesman of the month.
Because people are leaving New York in droves. And it's very important. You know, I think we do not have the luxury of saying, oh, I'm going to vote for the candidate I like the best or whose name I like the best. This election cycle, vote Republican, and then stay engaged with those with them once they get into office. If you don't like something that they're doing when they're in office, engage them. But the decision, Chris Dorsey, is basically destruction, divisiveness, you know, attack on the American dream, to prosperity, unity, you know, property rights. It's a very clear choice this election. So, Chris Dorsey, we have a minute left. What is your final thought you want to leave with our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, what do you have to lose? You're living in a democratically controlled city. You're watching it implode. There's no leadership whatsoever. They're calling for defunding the police. They're abandoning you. So what do you have to lose? You might have been a lifelong Democrat, but here's a chance to reach out across the aisle and say, maybe I'm going to try a different approach. Maybe I'm going to go a different direction and see if I get different results. So I think that's an appeal that's going to have a lot of resonance this election cycle.
Well, and this Democrat Party, Chris Dorsey, is not the party of JFK. It's not your parents' Democrat Party. It's a totally different Democrat Party. So if mom and dad, grandpa and grandpa were Democrats, that is not the party that you would be voting for this time. And I think it's important people understand that.
Yeah, it's a socialist fascist party is what it is.
Yes, it's been taken over by radical activists. Chris Dorsey, thank you so much. It's always great to have you on the show.
Likewise, Kim. Thank you.
Okay, and our quote today is, again, Charlton Heston. And he says, you simply disobey. Peaceably, yes. Respectfully, of course. Nonviolently, absolutely. But when told how to think and what to say and how to behave, we don't. We disobey the social protocol that stifles and stigmatizes personal freedom. So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, in the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Like a new moon rising, fierce, through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.